heard the message of the gospel of salvation. Think about that. Over and over and over again, we've heard the message of the gospel of salvation. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight in Matthew chapter 22. The word of God says in Matthew chapter 22, starting verse 1, "And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said," and listen to what he said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. And he sent out others servants saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and the fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding.' But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his own business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their cities. And then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who are invited were not worthy. Therefore, go to the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding.' So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, but both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to his servants, 'Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again tonight for your special word here to cause us. And Lord, I just thank you that you've invited us. And Heavenly Father, tonight, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, oh, may they come tonight before it's too late. And we'll give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. The kingdom of God is like a great feast, isn't it? All through the Bible you see where there's a banquet table prepared. We hear about the feast God has prepared for us. It's not something sad, but it's something joyous. It's something happy. And the kingdom of God is often compared to a wedding feast. Now, the wedding feast in Jesus' day was a very joyful occasion. We see at the wedding there in Nan, it was just a significant time, a feast. And the feast lasted 7 days. The significance of the feast of the wedding, especially here, because it's the king's son. Think about that. This king, he has a son, and that makes the occasion even a greater occasion. It would be like a presidential wedding, and or one you see over in England, a joyous occasion when it's the king's son. And the king's son is recognized as heir to the throne. Now, in every generation, God gives a wedding feast, and he invites all to come, every single one to come. Our feast, or the feast, recognizes that the royalty of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And oh, what a wonderful occasion it's going to be when that feast takes place. And some do come, the Bible says. Some refuse to come. But God's grace ultimately draws many to that eternal celebration that the wedding feast has. Now, God gives a gracious invitation, and then he examines, as we see at the last verse, those who do come. Now think about that, because it's going to, at the end of the service, it's going to draw down to how we get there and what we're wearing. The king extends this invitation, the Bible says, graciously, for the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged that marriage and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast or the banquet. Now, the initial invitation was days before the wedding. But then there was a immediate invitation that everything was ready. Now you come. The meal is there. Everything's done. The banquet is ready. And here the king calls for those who were already sent out that invitation. Historically, if you're in the Bible, what he's teaching here, God invited the Jewish people. He called the Jews to his kingdom. They were his chosen people. And through the prophets in the Old Testament, they told of Christ coming. In Isaiah, it says, for he shall grow up before as a tender plant. And then it says, he was wounded for our transgressions, see, and the iniquity, our sin was laid upon him. He was talking about the Lord and Savior coming, and the prophets told the Jewish people about this great banquet. They had the advance invitation. Now, immediately, God called the Jews through John the Baptist. When John says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And then Jesus also taught that in his ministry. But what happened? The Jewish people refused to come, as it says. Again, in verse 5, they made light of it, some of them did. They rejected his coming, and they didn't come. When God extended that invitation to his people, the Jewish people, they didn't come. Personally, everything about our lives is part of our call towards him. I don't know when God started calling you to salvation. You know, it's amazing. God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, calls certain people at different times. We have little kids come, sometimes in vacation Bible school. They know that the Holy Spirit is dealing with them, and they come. I heard some at 5 years old knew that they were called to the ministry, and they started preaching at a very young age, you see. And that call, they knew it was God's call. Now, others, it's later on in life that he called to salvation. You know, I was called when I was about, 20 or 21, at Eastside Baptist Church there in Rusk. And I knew God was calling me. That invitation was there. But many times, people hear that call, they know that you'd come, and they refuse that call. They stand there, and they say, not today, Lord, I'm not coming today. And they go home, and they miss that call. In verse 4, the king extends his invitation persistently. It says, again he went out, and servants said, and tell those who are invited that I have everything prepared, everything's ready. Now let me tell you, an ordinary king, when he sent out that call and they refused to come, he would have been insulted. He would have been insulted. But our God is a gracious God, isn't he? And he continues to, his grace and mercy repeatedly gives us that call to come. Oh, listen, he didn't call me just one time, but he called me again and again until the Holy Spirit moved in such a way that I just let go. And so many people have refused that call over and over. I wonder if there's anybody here, just be honest tonight, would say, I'm like that. I didn't come when he called me, but I waited. You know, we do that, don't we? And I believe over and over, I just believe this morning there were people that left this place that should have come to make decisions in their life. But yet they say, oh no, Lord, not me, not today. But here he stresses the urgency of that call. You see, dinner is set, he says. Everything is ready. And I believe with all my heart today, you know, there's an urgency about the call to come to Christ. You may not have long. You see? I believe with all my heart the end of the world is coming about. I don't know when. It may not be in my lifetime. It may be in my lifetime. But he commands his call by stressing over and over, you know, I have prepared. Everything's ready. The excellency of the feast is there. The choice of the fatted calves is there. It's all waiting and prepared. You know what? The glory of knowing that you're saved is like that. Boy, the moment I was saved, I just felt such a relief in my life, you know, that I had been invited to come to Christ, and I finally accepted that. And the devil no longer had chains on me. I had been released. And this is a feast that only God could prepare. Only a king could prepare a feast like this. Now, historically, let's think back. God persisted in his appeal to the Jews. They got more than one call. And following the crucifixion of Christ, the apostles continued to make that call to the Jews to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, personally, God has done the same thing through us, or to us, through life's ups and downs in life, through sermons that the preachers preach, through Sunday school teachers, through their message, through the churches, man, through the revivals that we have, through Vacation Bible School, through Christian friends. Think about the friends you have that have talked to you about Christ, maybe. His appeal over and over again for you and I personally is to come to him. You see, now is the time. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. All who are thirsty come, you see. And yet, in our churches, in our people, time after time again, we reject the invitation and go away lost. Some reject it through indifference. They make light of it. We see that today in our crowds. Others, I've been knocking on doors for a long time and telling people about Jesus Christ. Others have no interest whatsoever in going to church, learning about Christ. And even some reject violently the message and the messenger. Here, they kill them. But friends, there is a limit. We need to remember this. There is a limit to the grace of the Almighty King. There comes a time in our lives, if we reject his call, that the Holy Spirit no longer deals with you. And God says, okay, if you don't want the call, you do your thing. You go your way. Oh, that's tough. For judgment comes to everyone. And the last word on those who reject his gracious offer is to bind them and cast them into outer darkness. Isn't that sad when I read that? I wanted to stop earlier. You know, I knew that was coming, and I said, man, I don't want to see anybody cast out of darkness. But that's the judgment of God. You refuse his call. And you refuse his wooing. And that's the end. The king enlarges the invitation generously, okay? The Jews would not come. They said no. They killed his prophets. They crucified his son. But the grace of God is never defeated, you see? For he says, go out into the highways. This is where we come in. The scope of the invitation is verse 9. In the highways, and as many as you find, invite them to the wedding. Now, historically, we just said the Jews rejected the gospel. Many of them still reject the gospel. And he extends his call then to the Gentiles, the entire world. I think we said this morning in our Sunday school class. Personally, when you and I reject the gospel, he will extend it to others. You know, if you look at the way the gospel has moved, there was a great movement years ago in England and over there. And then that movement, we went to see Charles Haddon Spurgeon's church there when we were in England. And I sat there and I thought, oh, how the Spirit of God was moving in a mighty, mighty way. Now, those great big old monstrous chapels and beautiful places of worship are just dead. They're just like museums where people walk in and look, but there's no spirit there, seems like, anymore. And I thought how it came to America and how America was established on freedom of religion, you see. And God just come to America, and the Holy Spirit has done a mighty work through our people. And we see our denomination does a mighty work all over the world through our missionaries and things like that. But God offers his invitation outwardly to all those who will come, you see. And friend, God finds a way to see that the feast will be full. I never will forget when you've heard this before, but I'm going to tell it again because we got some new people in here. And when we had a guy come here from I don't know where, but he came to talk about going to Africa. And I didn't want to go anywhere outside the United States. You know, my scope, my world was East Texas. That was about it. But, you know, I told God, I sat there in that pew and I said, Lord, if you want me to go to Africa, then give me at least 10 people to go with me. And I prayed that. I shouldn't have said that. That was a mistake. Because you know what? Before I left that morning, 10 people had already said, preacher, we want to go to Africa. And I said, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. And so I'd already told God I'd go, so I went. We the Lord sent the money, and the church, I believe nobody had to really pay all of their way over there, you know, but the church just raised the money to send those 10 people, and I think we had more than 10, I'm not sure, but, you know, we went there, and the whole time I was there, I was telling one of my deacons that was with me, I don't know why I came. I just don't know why I'm here. I don't really want to be here. I was just getting mad, you know, about the whole thing. You know, out of the United States, it's rough. But that was kind of my attitude. I said, I don't know why I'm here. Except God told me, you know, he wanted me to come. And boy, it was hot. You think Texas is hot. Man, that place was hot. You could just stand in the shade and sweat just rivers of water off of you. I mean, it was tough. And I kept thinking, man, this is rough, especially for an old boy that's used to the air conditioning. There wasn't no such thing. They had a little air conditioning in our room, but the rest of it was just hot. You ate in the heat. You fellowshiped in the heat. and you went to church in the heat. They didn't have churches like this. We met under a tree with some brush around us. You know, it was just a miserable condition, and I got over there, and I got to hearing how those people worshiped and how they sang those praise songs. And, of course, they were singing them in Swahili. I didn't know exactly all. I knew the tunes of them. And, boy, they just so happy in Jesus that I thought I started to say, you know, this is why. You know, God had something for me to see. Well, along during the middle of the week, there, towards the last of the week, I believe it was about Thursday. Let me say this. When you go there, we got started at, we're supposed to have been there at 9, and they started about 12. We've been in the heat that long. And then he says, preach. And I said, okay. So, man, I preached the sermon. I thought I waxed well with that thing. I got through with it. He said, sing. Boy, we sing some more. Then he said, preach. I said, okay, Mike, it's your turn, my deacon. He said, okay. He preached. And I'm thinking, well, you know, this has got to end after a little bit. As soon as they got through, sing some more. We sing some more. And then he said, preach. I'm coming around on the second time now. I only brought one sermon over there that day. So I opened the Bible and I started preaching. One of the best messages ever preached, I guess. It was really good. I said, man, the Lord moved. As soon as we sung, we got through. He sang some more, and then he said, Mike, preach. This goes on about 2 hours. And then we go visit. And we walk, and we walk, and we walk. Folks, it's so hot that you can't. I was losing weight. It was just trailing behind me. You know. You had to watch for those snakes that bite you. He said, if a snake bites you, you're not going to make it to the hospital. You're going to die. That's just the way it was. And I was praying, Lord, don't let a snake bite me. I don't want to die out here. But you know what? That fourth day, we walked miles. And we finally got to a little hut. And there was only one little lady sitting on a 5-gallon bucket of dirty water. And he said, preach. And I started telling her about the gospel of salvation. And, oh, that woman cried, big old tears. Of course, I'm preaching in English. He's translating, you know. Our taxi cab driver got saved. He was translating for me. His name was Robert. Never will forget him. And I got through preaching, telling her about the story of Jesus, how he came and died. And she said something, and he said, preacher, she's 94 years old. The average age there is 40. They die early. And she told him she'd been waiting all her life. A plane had crashed years ago, and she had found a little part of a Bible. Isn't that amazing? And as I started to walk, she said, preach some more. So I quoted the 23rd Psalm with her, and she quoted behind me. We were both crying. You know, I cried more that day than I believe I ever had. But we walked away. As I walked away from that place, it was like the Holy Spirit. I don't know if anybody else heard it or not, but a voice from heaven, I really believe, said, that's why you came. I turned around and looked at that little lady. She's still sitting on that 5-gallon can, but she was waving and smiling from ear to ear with that old leather face, you know, wrinkled and dry, you know. And one day I'm going to see her in heaven. I'm going to see her in heaven. I told Mike when I got back, we separated then, but I told him, I said, I found out the reason I came, Mike, and I told him about that. You know, the invitation of God goes out. And hey, I thought, right here, he could have got anybody in the world to tell her about Christ, but he chose me. And boy, that makes me feel special. He chose me from this little church here in Gun Barrel City to go all the way around the world to tell one lady about Christ. Folks, our God is a gracious, loving God. Our God cares about souls. Our God will make sure the banquet hall is full. Amen. Here we hear the gospel message over and over and over. And our hearts seem so cold to the gospel message that we don't even come and shed a tear at the altar for our sins, do we? And it makes me wonder, like I said, has prosperity ruined us? That we won't even bow before our God and pray. Before we finish, the king examines those that are invited. The supreme moment comes when the king's at the banquet, and he begins to view all those that are gathered at the banquet. Now, the moment of joy and privilege for all is when you're invited to the banquet. And back then, if he had them from the highways and hedges, the king gave out the clothing, you see. They didn't have the clothing to come to the wedding feast. So the king would make sure that they were all had the right clothing. They didn't want to be, he didn't want them there looking unprepared. Well, the reason of the king's examination is obvious. You must come the right way for salvation if you're going to heaven. If you're going to that great feast. There's not just any way. There's only one way. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, we try to come in our own righteousness. He notices one man. He's not, doesn't have on the garments that he's required. And he looks at the man and says, how did you get in here? And the man is speechless. You see, when we stand before God and we're not clothed in His righteousness, we try to stand, He's going to say, depart from me. I don't know you. You don't have the right clothes. You didn't come the right way. And there's a lot of people today trying to come by works. It's not going to get them into heaven. They're going to try to come because I go to church all the time. That's not going to get you into heaven. I give to missions. That's not going to get you to heaven. I'm a good man. That's not going to get you to heaven. They're not prepared to stand before the God and present themselves to the wedding. And he says, bind him and cast him out into outer darkness. Now, I don't know if you've ever come the right way or not, folks. When I was 8 years old, I came down to the front, and I shook hands with the pastor there, Brother Gene was his name at Recklaw Baptist Church. And he said, son, do you want to go to heaven? I didn't know what I was doing. I came because my brother walked down. He said, you don't want to go to hell, do you? And I said, no, nobody wants to go to hell. He said, sit down on the pew then, and we'll baptize you. That did not save me. I'm so glad that God kept calling me. I'm so glad He watched over me till I knew what I was doing, you see. Now, that's the grace of God. And then He called me when I was about 21 after Rhonda and I had already been married. But if I'd have died early and I hadn't accepted that call, I'd have been cast into outer darkness. How did you come to Christ? Who told you about Jesus? Do you have on the right garments? We've got to be clothed in His righteousness, because ours is filthy rags. Today, I believe with all my heart, the banquet is ready, and the invitation is given again. Will you come? Will you come tonight? Or will you reject the call? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for the invitation to come. Lord, if there's somebody here that in their heart they know that they're not prepared, may they just let loose and come. For it's in your precious name we ask these things. Amen.